Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. This week, we're continuing our interviews with my team members from Splendor Magazine with someone you haven't met before. Next fiscal year, we've decided to add a lot more content in our magazines, and one of the features we've decided to add is our Ecclesia feature, which will be an interactive 5-day devotional that aims to bring the heart of the church together in unity. The writer for this feature is Lizzie Blanchard. Lizzie is native to the Peoria area in Illinois, and she and I met through a mutual friend with a shared interest in writing. The more we got to know one another over coffee, the more I recognized that she would be the perfect fit for this new feature in Splendor. She's joining us on the pod today to share her life testimony and other great facts about her, so here's a wonderful opportunity to get to know Lizzie a bit better before you read her content in this fall's issue. So without further ado, welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dressed in Splendor. Today, I have Splendor Magazine's newest team member, Lizzie Blanchard, on the show. Lizzie is our Ecclesia writer, or Ecclesia for whoever wants to pronounce it whatever way, a new feature which will provide a 5-day devotional that digs deeper in God's Word with applications and a space for our readers to journal. Lizzie herself is a blogger and an inspiring author with a new devotional book in the works. We're hoping and praying that this will actually will get closer for you to be one step closer to publication. And she just has a huge love for the Word and a desire for people to know the truth of God's Word in an expository way. Oh man, too many vowels. Anyway, Lizzie, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I've gotten to listen to the past couple episodes featuring some of the ladies, and man, it has been fun to get to know them and their testimony. So I'm excited.
Yeah, same here. I honestly had no idea. I've known these ladies for a few years now, but it's always interesting to know everyone's testimony because you get to know them almost on a deeper level and know why they are the way they are because of their testimony and new life in Christ. So I'm excited about learning more about you, Lizzie. Why don't you share a little bit more about yourself for those who don't know you?
Yeah. Oh man, what do I say? So I'm gonna God has brought me on a journey, but a little bit about me is that I love writing. I love theology and studying the Bible. I love coffee. So if anybody listening does know me, they will be nodding their head right now. I'm always at a coffee shop. I'm always writing. I love that. But I also love just time spent outdoors, fun things like that. There's so much to mix up a person. But what I'm truly passionate about is things related to communication. So I love all things about communicating truths, communicating with others, relationships. Yeah, all that good stuff.
Yeah. And before we even started this episode, we were talking about how you are hoping to maybe even start your own podcast, which is exciting.
Yes. So we'll see. God willing. I can be one of these people who, you know, I feel like maybe there's something on my heart to do, but then, you know, you sit on it and sometimes you doubt it. You do that whole Gideon fleece thing where it's like, well, if it's dry and then yay. And, okay, but now if it's wet, then like, you know, you can overthink it. So that's kind of where this podcast has been, I think God's leading me to, and then I kick it around. So it was a little bit of accountability telling you too, to be like, okay, I said it. Now I got to follow through with it. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's sometimes hard to even know if it is something that the Lord wants you to do. That's why I struggled with knowing if I should do a podcast as well, because
I didn't want to be just like everybody else who was doing it. It's like, oh, well, here's another friend starting a podcast. And then, you know, 2 months later, it's gone because they got bored or something. I said, I don't want to start it unless I know I'm going to see this through. So I am praying for you in that and seeing if the Lord will actually have you start this podcast. And this will be a great opportunity to practice. Yeah. And she told me it's her first appearance on a show, on a podcast. So I feel very honored. Lizzie, I'm so excited to get to know you better.
Thank you.
So let's jump into it. Let's talk about Jesus. How did you first come to learn about him? And when did you actually consciously, I guess, make the decision to accept Jesus as your savior?
Yeah. So I first learned about Jesus through my parents in the church. So very fortunate or blessed to be raised in a Christ-centered home. So I was taught about Jesus from an early age. So thankful for that. And growing up, we attended church service weekly. So my parents made that a priority, which I'm very thankful for. And so, yeah, I heard about Jesus in the home and at church, heard about his word. And so to your question about that decision, I consciously made that decision, or rather God got a hold of me at a very young age. So I can't tell you the exact day. I can't tell you the exact time. Some people can in their testimony. I was very, very young. And so I don't know the exact day or time, but I know that there was change. And so God just got a hold of me from a young age, which I'm thankful for. But yeah, so that's kind of how that relationship with Christ began, was through faithful parents, the church, and God just come into me at an age where, man, it's, I even think, as a side note, that's an incredible thing to give praise and glory to God for. Sometimes it's a fun, something in the church where believers can be like, oh man, I wish I had this testimony where this happened. Tim Hawkins has a funny bit about that actually. But I was thinking about it one day where I was like, the fact that God would choose to save a kid who can't do anything for him, all of our works are like filthy rags before God, but who can't do anything, all I can bring is dependency as a toddler, like that's a miracle. So every testimony is truly a miracle, but that's kind of the beginning of that testimony.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love the fact that you actually bring up about just children's faith. And I think a lot of us tend to not realize the beauty of when children actually do come to know God at such an early age or are raised in a Christian home, because it's actually not as common in other places around the States or even in other countries, that it's just almost a blessing and truly a gift that we can, that a lot of, especially you in the past too, have been raised in a Christian home, that we've been able to live in a country or live in a place where it is a little bit more common and for us to know God. And I think sometimes it's easiest to come to God as a child because of the childlike faith. And so I love that you bring that up. And I think that for anyone who listens and maybe finds that their testimony of becoming a Christian at a young age is not as special as those who came to know Christ later in life, it's just as impactful, just as beautiful. And actually, I think that when you're younger, getting to know God, that the more growth can happen and the more that God can help you to just continue to follow him and do so many things for his kingdom when you start doing that at a young age and start asking that question, because you come to know him at that age. So thank you for sharing that. And hopefully others listening to your testimony will feel the same kind of beauty now of realizing that it is actually a beautiful gift to come to know God at such a young age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, though, that there are times, I mean, obviously, especially, well, not especially, everyone comes to a point in our walk with Jesus where there are times when we doubt him and his existence, and there are times when it's so hard. I know that there are things in my life where, you know, if I wasn't a Christian, I could say, who cares about me? And so I'm just curious if there are any times like that for you that you've maybe experienced something similar like that.
That's a great question. I wouldn't say that I have doubted if God is real or ever desired to walk away from the faith. Not because I'm some woman of superior faith, but rather he is faithful. I will say that I think this is probably true of every Christian. We have our doubts of how he will provide, if he'll provide to my liking, where I can have control, where, like, I think for maybe my fleshly tendency isn't so much to doubt real or, again, if I should walk away or not, by the grace of God, I have that confidence. But I think it's more of that practical moments of control we desire, or if God will do it to our liking, if that makes sense. So that's actually been, that's a whole topic, but that's actually been something God has been kind of revealing to me lately, believe it or not, over this season. Because I was just talking with a friend today. I would never describe myself as someone who's controlling, as far as what we think of controlling. But once you start, you know, having the Holy Spirit point out to you some areas where you're desiring control and maybe lacking trust, you realize, oh, wow, maybe I actually am a little controlling in the sense that, am I really trusting God right now with things or trying to control it in my own power? So anyway, I feel like that relates to your question, the sense of doubting and trust. I think Christians continually struggle sometimes in their flesh with the practicality of that, doubting how he will answer something, doubting what it will look like, doubting if he'll sustain them through the process, even if they don't doubt their belief. But yeah, I don't know if that helps at all.
No, it did answer my question. For those who are listening, you're not seeing all the craziness that just happened. My computer was dying and I had to charge my computer as she's talking, and I felt really bad. But I did hear all of what you said, and just in talking about control, and even actually I'll just use this podcast episode as an example. I mean, I think that there are times when I want to be able to control how everything goes, and I just have to laugh about things sometimes and be like, wow, this is not at all how I planned. And that's like such a minuscule thing. But going in what you were talking about, I'm very similar in that same way. But I think that is kind of true for all of us. I think deep down inherently, we want control over our lives and how it will look and what, you know, what's going to happen, the answers that we wish we had. And I actually am recalling back to when I was talking to Pastor Doug Rumbold on my podcast a few weeks ago, and he's saying that Job didn't have a lot of answers to the questions he asked God. He actually didn't have any answer, but he was able to actually come to the conclusion of like, God is God, and he is in control of the situation, and it's a better outcome of what he will give to me if he blesses me with anything, and if not, he's still good, and he's still one to follow and chase after. And we just have to believe that God has a better plan and purpose in what we can envision. And no matter how much we want to control the situation, even if we did plan everything out to the letter that we wanted it to be, it's still not as good as what it can be in Jesus and what God can do. So yeah, you did a great job of answering that question.
Thank you.
So, I'm trying to go back to my notes. So sorry, man. Like I said, control. This is an episode where I feel like it's going just whatever way that God wants it to go. So how would you say, I guess, that becoming a believer has shaped your life?
Yeah, I would have to say in every way. Shaped my life in every way. My life finds its whole meaning and its whole purpose in God. And so there's not an area of my life that isn't God, since I'm his completely. And so it shaped my life in every way, whether it's how I handle hard times, whether it's how I celebrate victories, whether it's how I view relationships and my purpose and why I'm here. I think it shapes everything. How it shapes our suffering and hardships would be in how our responses are, how we give that to God as an offering to use how he will. And then I had mentioned victories. I think how we celebrate our victories, if it's giving glory to God or giving glory to ourselves, that should be shaped by our view of God, by our belief in God, and by the Holy Spirit's working in us. And so every area, but in a practical sense, as far as like testimony and the purpose of this podcast, how has becoming a believer shaped my life? I think that being a believer in part has shaped my life and how I view not only my purpose, but also in how I view the circumstances around me. So for a practical example, again, to the point of this podcast episode being testimony, I was saved at a young age, like I mentioned. And, you know, going through high school and going through different things, I kind of describe it as I had a little bit of like easy street. I had great parents. I was in a church. I had friends. And there was, of course, these things that everybody struggles with and whatnot, whether it be insecurity. I heard some of the ladies talking about that, totally related to that. Insecurity and all those different things. But on the grand, you know, scope of life, I had it pretty easy and whatnot. And it wasn't until a couple years later, shortly out of high school, my sister, Sarah, had passed away in a car accident. And it was a moment when we talk about how has becoming a believer shaped your life. It was a moment where you realize either God is your everything and God is good all the time, or what are you doing? And praise God, he just met me in that moment. That could be a whole nother podcast episode because I could go on talking about that forever. But God really quite tangibly met me in the moment. And, you know, when you realize you're at rock bottom, you realize what your rock really is and if it's a strong foundation. And by the grace of God, God is my foundation and he sustained me, but not only sustained me, he allowed me to see good that can come from tragedy. And he allowed me to be able to see, while not fully, but he allowed me to be able to see how he can use all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, as scripture says. And so it shaped my life very practically in how I view tragedy, how I view life and purpose. And even how we view the brevity of time that we have on this earth, scripture says life is but a mist. And so especially after my sister having passed, and also in light of scripture and the comfort that I found through the Holy Spirit, it really shaped my view on life and seeing that believers have a short time here on earth, only God knows how long, to do what he's called us to do, to spread the gospel, to be a part of the privileged work that we have in Christ. And so I think that that should for sure shape us, and the Holy Spirit's faithful to do that, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting as you're talking about the passing of your sisters, it just reminds me of a lot of the excuse that people, and I'm not diminishing the hardship of any person who goes through such a tragedy like this, but using that as an excuse to almost walk away from God because they ask the question of like, why would God allow this to happen? And, you know, it is those tough questions that you have to ask and see like, okay, is God still good in this? Does he still have a plan? And for you to actually draw nearer to him, I think is a beautiful testimony or a testament of your faith and just knowing that God is in control. And it just even reminding myself of just what's been going on in the nation right now, even with the shooting in Nashville, which is horrible, or the tornado in Mississippi. I'm just realizing like there is a bigger battle that's actually in the midst right now. And we have to know that even with tragedies like this, knowing that there is an end to this battle, that this huge battle that, and it's what we have to remember is that God wins that battle and death is not forever. And I think that when we can remember that too, in these moments of hardships, of knowing that like for you and your sister, you'll see your sister again, you'll be able to rejoice in heaven and say, this is not like you said, this is just a short time on here on earth. And then you're going to be in eternity in heaven and spending that with God, and you're, and who knows how that's going to look like, but I truly believe that we're going to see our loved ones again and being able to just party it up there. And so, so do you remember, if you're okay talking about this, but do you remember just a moment, like if there was a time where you just really had to make that decision of like, okay, I could choose one of two ways to react to this. And obviously we know you went to the way of just continuing to dig deeper to God, but what did that look like for you, and how maybe can some advice that you could give to others who are possibly going through something similar, and how can you be able to help them to have that same realization that you did back then?
Yeah, I would start by just claiming this truth that God is faithful. Oh, God is so faithful. Like, I could even tear up just saying that. In every season, God is faithful. And anyway, so to your question, the practical kind of moment at that crossroads was, I can vividly, you know, just picture when I was home alone at the moment when I got the phone call, and it was late night / early morning when she was heading home. Mm-hmm. And to try and make a long story short, my mom had went out to look for her because my mom had that mother's intuition, or maybe it was the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, being like, something's not right. I need to go check. So anyway, my mom had went and she arrived on the crash scene. And so she had called me, and I was home alone and just in complete shock. If someone's ever experienced a sudden mm-hmm. loss, then they can relate with that complete shock. And so this crossroads moment was, I remember going downstairs, going to get out of my PJs into something presentable because the coroner was going to be coming and all that. And I just hit my knees to the floor and started praying and just had an honest, vulnerable moment with God where it was like, God, please let this not be true. God, please let there be some other way. Like, God, please mm-hmm. let this not. And then by just the Holy Spirit's goodness and the Holy Spirit working on my behalf, if you want to say like an intercessory prayer kind of a thing, I just, the words out of my mouth escaped, but God, let your will be done. And in that moment, those passages in scripture, which this goes back to what a blessing to have a strong foundation that my parents helped to lay in Christ, to have been raised and knowing the word. Because in that moment, the Holy Spirit brought some verses to mind about Jesus in his, what some would say is maybe his hardest hours, praying, God, Father, let there be some other way, but nonetheless, your will be done. Verses like that. A verse came to my mind that I hadn't memorized before, but in that moment, this is just kind of a couple moments after I'd gotten this call, about how in scripture, I believe it says, maybe it's in Philippians, that God will give us peace beyond all understanding. Mm-hmm. And that verse just came to my mind out of seemingly nowhere. And I had this peace just come over me. Mm. That's not to say that you don't still have hard times and that you don't still break down crying and that you don't still mm-hmm. just have the, like, absolutely, like, scripture is clear about, if anything, the gospel and suffering. Like, oh my goodness, there's so much in scripture about suffering and the gospel. But when faced with that crossroad, my reaction was to be honest with God, to pray, and then to trust that the Holy Spirit will see me through. And that's all praise to God, because there was nothing special about me in that moment, right? Like sometimes when you share God's faithfulness, people's tendency can be to say, oh, you're so strong, or oh, this and that. And I always go back to in scripture where it says God's power is made perfect in your weakness, and that we are broken vessels that the light escapes through. And so I'm like, no, that was one of my weakest moments. But because of that, and because of God's faithfulness, and because of God's goodness, when we're faced with a crossroad, we can trust that God is faithful. I think if we think that we have to somehow become strong in this situation, or, oh man, like, man, I have a loss, or I have a heartache, or I have any number of situations, if we think that we have to try to be a good Christian to please God, then we've already got a wrong mindset. But if we think, I'm a weak person who I know God can help and work through because he's already done it for my greatest need in saving me from my sins, then surely he's faithful to continue. So that would be my encouragement, is that God is faithful even when you don't feel faithful. And God is a perfect helper even when you don't know where to begin to ask for help. But God is good in every season, even when things are not good at all.
Hey listeners, it is finally spring, at least here in our neck of the woods. I mean, it's still kind of barren looking on our trees, but the grass is greener, the weather is warmer, and the trees are blooming. Kind of wanted to go for another alliteration there, but I couldn't think of anything. But speaking of trees blooming, that reminds me of the new life we get to see each spring, which reminds me of our current spring issue, which centers around new life. This issue has been shipped out to our buyers, and for those who have bought or will purchase a magazine, you'll be able to find some wonderful curated content with you in mind. We also have some special guests in this current issue, and it's so worth the money to read their testimonies and articles. Special guest writer Julia Woods writes an excellent piece about what it means to love your husband, and her credentials show us exactly why she knows a thing or two about how to help couples in their marriage. Her business called Beautiful Outcomes specializes in helping couples grow together for a lifetime through coaching, retreats, and courses. We also have our Deborah Woman featured, Phyllis DeWitt. Name sound familiar? You may remember her from our previous episode in our Comfort and Joy series. If you haven't listened, you can check out her episode, but you can also now read her testimony and interview in this new life issue. We have a special offer just for our listeners. Go to our shop and use special code DIS15, that's D-I-S-15, to get 15% off when you order our new life issue or our biannual subscription. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Lizzie. Yeah, amen. I think that's just the truth that we have to cling on to in every situation and all the trials. We all go through our own trials and hardships. Some are worse than others. But still having those personal trials and hardships doesn't make it any less hard to go through. Yeah. Suffering is suffering. And, mm-hmm. and I remember that just a time when I was completely depressed, and actually that was probably the time when I was not like diagnosed, but I was pretty sure I was clinically depressed. And that was a time where I did doubt God, but I knew it was like, I just couldn't walk away from him. Even though I was mad at him, I was like, I know that this is not forever. And it's one of those things of like, I know in my mind that you are good, and I have to cling to that truth and knowing that you are here with me, even though it doesn't feel like it, even though it seems like I'm in the darkest pit in hell right now, but you are still near me. And that was something that I just had to tell myself, even when I didn't believe it. And later on down the road, when I was able, thankfully, by the grace of God, was able to get out of that stage in life, that he was able to actually show me like, hey, I was with you. And then I was actually able to believe that in my heart then as well. And so it's just in those moments when you just cannot believe it. It is that scripture. Like when you are in that moment of like asking the Lord, please let it be something else, or like, let your will be done, and all the scriptures fill into your mind. I think that's like, that was definitely the Holy Spirit working through you and just reminding you of the truth and reminding you that God is there to be able to make you strong in your weakness. And it's just his spirit at work. And so would you say that you have been able to get to know yourself more in your walk with him? I mean, it seems like this was something pretty huge that might have like probably altered a little bit of like how you walk your life, and how you, like you said, it did change a little perspective of even like the time here spent on earth. So would you say that you've gotten to know more about who you are, the more you got to know God through thick and thin trials?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that getting to know God absolutely reveals to us more of who we are from like mm-hmm. from a foundational level of just knowing the reality that God is our creator. And so who better yeah. to know me and to know why I was created, what my purpose mm-hmm. is, why I'm here, all of those big mm-hmm. questions that everybody in the world asks. It's just, mm-hmm. where do we go to for that answer? But so on a fundamental level, absolutely, because who better knows me than my creator? Mm-hmm. And I think within that, there's even a general purpose where all of us are created to worship God. And then there's the specific purpose about knowing those good works that he's prepared for us in advance mm-hmm. to do. And so mm-hmm. I think everything about our life, our purpose, both mm-hmm. on a big scope and an intentional scope, specific assignments, the way he's wired us. I mean, all mm-hmm. sorts of things find who they are in him. So I've definitely gotten to know more of myself through getting to know God. And I think that's kind of taken its form both through, well, first and foremost, through the Holy Spirit just revealing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Through the Spirit and through his word. I have come to really cherish God's word. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, growing up, and sometimes we can still fall into this, right? Like a checklist mentality or a thing to have to do. But as I've begun to really just cling to what God reveals about himself in his word, that his word is truth. Mm. His word was written so that we could know truth. And therefore, I can know the truth about why I'm here, about myself, about his plan, about the world, about, I mean, everything. Through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and through those sufferings and trials that we talked mm-hmm. about, that he is even over that sovereign over, I think in all those things, God is faithful to reveal himself to us, and therefore we know a little bit more about ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the more we get to know who we are through reading his scripture and just living life, I think that we all have a kind of question of asking ourselves, like, what gifts and talents, spiritual gifts or physical gifts or whatever we may have, and what desires are actually on our hearts to be able to use for God's kingdom. So share about that. What are some things that, obviously, you were saying, like, everyone has the question of, like, what is our purpose here on life? So how has God, like, shaped that purpose for you? What does that look like? What is your purpose? What would you like to see God do through you with your gifts and talents?
Yeah. So like I had mentioned earlier, there's that kind of general purpose that I think we all share, mm-hmm. which is to worship and to glorify God. And Amen. So we all have that general purpose. Whether you're in Christ or not in Christ, you have that purpose. And then that's when idolatry comes in, right? If we're worshiping God mm-hmm. or not. But within that, and within those unique just makeups that God gives each of us, where I have prayerfully been discerning, especially lately, I transitioned from a former role where I was in full-time church ministry and transitioned about a year ago from that, and was really just praying, like, okay, God, like, what is it that you would have me do? I keep kind of feeling just led back to that realm of communication. And so within that realm is where I'm really just discerning. But some of those passions and perceived gifts would be with writing. I love to write. If, you know how sometimes people will say if there was one thing they couldn't not do, right? Like that's kind of it for me. I can't not write. Like if I'm processing life, I'm prayer journaling. If I'm contemplating, I'm taking notes, and I have like 10 notebooks. You know, if I'm doing like just wanting to praise God for something, I'm taking a note of it in my phone to be like, wow, God, I really noticed this. Writing is just something I can't do or can't not do. So that's for sure one area, whether that looks like continuing a blog. I do a blog, content online just to encourage people and point them to truth. And then I think you had mentioned a little bit earlier, but a specific kind of assignment I've been really trying to pray and steward well is writing a devotional book specifically around this topic of suffering. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I feel God has put on my heart, and that, God willing, if he would continue to stir that in me, I would love to be able to do. But yeah, so writing, communication, I've always loved creative expression. I used to do photography back in the day. I just really love that communication and expression realm. And if God can get glory in any of those avenues, whether it's a book, a podcast, writing for a magazine, which I just recently joined your guys' Splendor magazine. I'm super excited about that. Then that would be wonderful. So we'll see what God has in store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think – you're doing a wonderful job of using your gifts, and I see your content on Facebook, and it just puts a smile to my face. And you're so encouraging, and also just, I can see that passion for people to want to know the truth of God's word. And I think that in this time, it's so needed for us to remind ourselves, like, hey, this is what God's word says. And you even going deeper into that and learning more of, like, what does the original Greek actually say about this word? And it's something that not a lot of people have a passion for, and not to say that they don't love God's word, but I think it's needed to know the context of God's word more, and know that it's not that we should not warp it into our own truth. And that's the biggest thing I think that we're fighting right now, is that people are trying to find their own truth and say, wait, nope, my truth is God's truth, and I will not stray from that. And so it's really good. And I think that even using our gifts, we have to think about, like, whether it's gifts in writing as general and as much of a love that you have in that, or just gifts to even just bring a smile to someone's face, and someone that you get to know, and that we have an opportunity every single day, not even just thinking about the future, but like, what can we do in this moment today to bring glory to God and to maybe help be one step closer for one person to be a part of God's kingdom, whether it's planting seeds or actually being a part of a gospel conversation that would lead someone to Christ. And that's something too, I think, that we often tend to think of the future, of like, what can we do in the future, instead of asking ourselves, what can we do now? How can I be a part of his ministry now? So, and you are doing that. I can see it. It's evident through what you're doing, of asking yourself, how can I share God's truth today? So I think that you've definitely answered the question of just, like, how you want to use his gifts to glorify him. I know that you have got big dreams in your heart, and I think that the Lord will continue to make that evident. And like I said earlier, Lord willing, he's going to help continue to open the path to your book. There's no shortage of books that can really help people to be able to walk through suffering. And I think that your testimony is needed for those out there. And so praying for you in that, and hoping that the Lord would just, like I said, continue to open doors. And just wanted to, before we end this podcast, I just kind of wanted to ask you, as you know, our podcast is called Dress in Splendor, and we have Luke 12:27 as our mission verse for the podcast and our magazine. So based off of that scripture, what is some advice that you would give to someone to be dressed in splendor like the wildflowers of the field, based on the conversation we had?
Yeah. Well, one thing, it kind of even stems off of, with some context of that verse, with what you had just said. You had mentioned in talking about what we can do here and today. Within the context of that passage, I don't have my Bible right before me, but whether it's a couple verses before, a couple verses afterward, it talks about not worrying about tomorrow. And so it must have been before, I would think. Not worry about tomorrow as far as God providing for our needs and things like that. Mm-hmm. In the same vein, I would also say, not overly focusing on tomorrow as far as those things that we want to do and things like that. There's good planning, there's good things like that, but sometimes we miss, to your point of what you just said, what God has right before us today. So both provisionally, like the true context of that verse is, and then also with the opportunities around us, how often do not I go to a coffee shop and put in my earbuds and start doing something or whatever. And meanwhile, if I were to look up, all around me, there are people who maybe are believers and could use encouragement, or maybe don't have a relationship with Jesus and are currently destined to not have an eternal relationship or to be in eternity with him. Excuse me. And so if I were to look up and be present in the moment and look around every day, how might there be some wonderful opportunities right where I'm at? Right with all I need to be equipped for that situation, the Holy Spirit inside of me. Anyway, so to your point, but with that verse specifically, that one verse you mentioned in Luke, depending on what translation you look at, I was noticing today when I was reviewing that verse that it starts with the word consider. Mm-hmm. Consider the lilies of the field. And it talks about considering how they don't toil, they don't this and that. And yet they're dressed in more splendor than Solomon. And I'm paraphrasing that. But I just even – when I read scripture and break it down, I really like to focus on like one word at a time and soak it in. And so the word that stood out to me today was consider. Am I considering – just like he says to consider – the lilies. He's literally telling me there, consider the lilies. Am I considering how God is so provisional for even like the least of his creation, which is like the flowers of the field, they're going to get thrown into the fire tomorrow. How provisional he is for their needs, which is the context of that verse, how provisional he is that they are dressed in splendor. Not only is he providing for the needs, but they are beautiful. I am so excited for spring because the flowers are going to be blooming.
Amen.
God's handiwork is just on display. And so if I truly consider how God, both provisionally and then even aesthetically for the flowers, is providing, then how much more for us who are his creation and for his children who are his children who he loves. So anyway, that's the word that popped out to me and that I would encourage whoever's listening, take God up, take Jesus up on what he was saying there. Consider it. Really do consider it and not just glance past it, that God will provide for your need in all ways, but even just in the things that are delightful too. Anyway, I think that's kind of a nice way to end this a little bit in the sense of here we talked about suffering and yet God's provision and the tension of how God is overall, not only our needs, but also delighting in things. Like God is so powerful, so above us, and yet he is in all the details and desires a relationship with little me and little whoever's listening. Wow, like what a wonderful God we serve. He's so worthy to be served. But consider it. That's my encouragement is consider those lilies of the field and then consider God's care for you because he is so much more concerned about you than even the lilies.
Yeah, so true. As you were talking, I was just literally today reading 1 Kings and the chapter of Elijah. This was actually before he took a nap and he got some food, but he was actually in a cave and he was out of reach from Jezebel and Ahab, King Ahab and everything. And he was the last prophet and things like that. And the Lord told him to go to this place and that he would command the ravens to feed him morning and night. That and even in that, it was like, I mean, God cares for us in that way, that he was able to command his creation to bring forth the needs that Elijah needed. And so obviously that is a wonderful miracle. I think that there, if I scour the internet, we could probably find similar stories like that. And we believe that it might not happen for ourselves, but even in the general sense of our everyday, give us this day our daily bread. It's not talking about food. It's just talking about really just give us what we need. Give us, Lord, what we need to be able to carry through this day. And what can we do to really bring heaven on earth? And so I think that's really great. I mean, we don't really think about we love the beauty of the flowers, but we don't consider that and even think about like actually how alive they are and that they grow because of their creator. And so thanks for sharing that. Is there anything else that maybe we didn't cover? I know that the beginning of this podcast for you and me was not as smooth sailing as we would have wanted it to be. So is there anything that you would have wanted to share with our audience?
Oh man! Well, first of all, I still loved it. Like despite whatever hiccups you thought, man, okay, hey, God works all things together. I'm telling you,
that's so true.
This is
the day in the life of a podcast host, and you'll get to experience the same joys one day. So
yes, exactly. So this is good. This is good. I loved these questions. I thought these were great to dive into. I would say that anybody who wants to maybe talk more about this. I know we like talked a little bit about a loss and maybe a little bit of a heavier topic. And if anybody's wanting someone to process that with, I'm not saying I'm anybody special. Oh my goodness, no. But the Bible talks about comforting those as you've been comforted. And so feel free to reach out to me if anybody would just like to talk about that. But I guess my last thing I would say, if you're asking me if there's anything else to throw in there, would be I'm going to just bring it back one last good old time to encouraging people, whoever's listening, whether you're a believer or whether you're not a believer, to get in the Word, to get in the Word and ask God to meet you there. If you're someone who's invested in your faith, hop on in. If you're somebody investigating your faith, hop on in. Like the Word has been so, God using His Word has been so transformative in my faith walk. And when you were talking about the ravens, you know, bringing food to Elijah, you know, I think of other passages in the Bible where sometimes we're like, wait, that's in there, where, you know, God used a donkey to talk.
Yes.
Message just
And
I remember actually being encouraged by that, being like, if God can use a donkey, then surely, surely He can make something work here. So there's so many awesome, cool, wonderful, miraculous, and just truth that we need to hear in God's Word. And so I encourage everybody in that. But yeah, what a fun time. What a fun time. Oh, I love this. Yeah.
No, I'm so glad you're on here. And listeners, I'm sure you can see by now why she is a part of our team as our new Ecclesia writer. I really don't know if I'm saying that right. It's either Ecclesia or Ecclesia, because that's how I pronounce it first. But I heard someone else say Ecclesia. So again, for those who want to correct me, you can. If you know Lizzie, you can totally correct me. But
I've heard another way too. So that this is going to throw a whole nother wrench in your system, because I've also heard it Ecclesia, and then the next time I heard Ecclesia. So I literally, I'm like, I'm the.
There's four different ways to say it.
You're not allowed to say it. So you know what? Maybe it's just, you know, we'll find out one day and we'll figure it out. But I've been saying Ecclesia. If you find out otherwise, let me know.
You know what? I should have actually Googled it and maybe even looked up on the Google Translate, or like asking the Google to say it out loud for you. I'll do that after the show. So
I
should have done that before. Oh, well.
I even tried that, Lydia. I was like, I can't be walking around not knowing what I'm saying. And they even they even pronounce it a couple of different ways. But okay, anyway, so keep me posted.
We'll have to find – if someone studies Greek out there and you know what this word is supposed to sound like, hit me up, because I'd love to know. And I'm sure this is not going to be the first time I say that word. But actually, in light of that, as we're talking about it, you're not in our spring issue currently, and we don't really want to give away too much of what is happening in our fall issue, the next one where your work will be featured. But for those of you who don't know Ecclesia, whatever, Lizzie, please help remind me if I'm wrong, but I think it just means church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, church, yeah. Or depending on maybe where you look this up, but church or the gathering together, yes, or the calling out of. So sometimes people, you get church from it because they're the ones who've been called out from the world. Mm-hmm. So called out, church, kind of intermingles there.
Yes, thank you. I knew there was more to it than just that. But the reason why I chose that name for this feature specifically, or this multi-day devotional, is because we want to be able to point people in a deeper understanding of God's Word throughout the whole nation, maybe hopefully the world, to those who pick up Splendor, and as they read it, they can go day by day with this devotional series, and knowing just what it is that God says, that we can be connected as a church to grow together, that as we're doing devotional, realizing that there are other people doing that as well, and just really drawing us back to what matters is God's Word, and just having a deeper understanding of, and we're not going to talk about what is happening in that feature, but just know it's really even going into a deeper study of a specific word that I'm very excited about. And I think that people will love to interact with it. And she's also being our guest writer for the fashion feature as well. So Lizzie also has a passion for fashion. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about that as well. So yeah, we are adding new things to our magazine. So stick around for that announcement later on. But Lizzie, before we end, where can people find you? How can they find any updates about your book or just even knowing more about you? I know you write poetry. Just share more about where can they find you?
Yeah. So if anybody wants to connect, I would say probably the easiest place to be able to see all the areas you could connect with me is if you go to my website, and that's lizzieblanchard.com. A lot of people will say their website's kind of like their home, right? So you can come to my home online and you'll be able to see just what all I'm up to. And you can sign up for a newsletter there if you want to know more about the book coming out. I do like a once a month newsletter just to keep people updated on that and even how they can be praying. But I am active on Instagram and Facebook. So as far as like that conversational kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. I love to connect with people on Instagram and Facebook and just to be able to share encouragement and truth, but then also hear what your guys' thoughts are. I love that. So yeah, on there I do some different things like poetry. I also share Bible studies. You will see the occasional fashion or coffee pick because come on, I love coffee. But truly, I like to be able to just, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit and God willing, just be able to shine a light and have encouragement and present truth. So connect with me there. Instagram is at @LizzieBlanchard_. But again, if you go on my website, it'll just tell you wherever you can connect with me.
Yeah, awesome. And we will share all of that information in our show notes also. So listeners, go find that information there for website, social media, all that good stuff. She's actually does so much more than even what she mentioned. So I know that you'll have a really fun journey in following with her and connecting with her. So Lizzie, thank you so much for joining the show. It was such a pleasure to get to know you better.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I loved it. I love it.
And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you next time. Isn't Lizzie just the sweetest? And doesn't she have such a great podcast voice? I think she's a wonderful addition to our team, and I can't wait for y'all to read her multi-day devotional and her fashion feature she guest writes on this fall. Don't forget to take her up on her offer if you need some additional prayer or encouragement through any suffering you may be going through currently. I truly hope that this episode encouraged you in some way, shape, or form. May this podcast further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram @DressedInSplendor. If you'd like to give me a follow on Instagram, you can find me @TheLydiaSummer. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast is produced by Jaiel Arekasi. Find him on Instagram @SoundOfPastelKid for more of his work. That's SoundOfPastel, PASTEL Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified.